Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I have a very different take than Michelle. I don't agree with a lot of the things Michelle said, actually, about Philadelphia. I think that it's a very nurturing community right now. And I'm kind of sad to hear you say that, Michelle, frankly, because I actually kind of think that it's the opposite, that I've lived here since 1986, and the slam community was huge back in the early 90s. You could go to a slam reading every single night of the week. In fact, that's how Bob Pullman first heard me and invited me to the Lollapalooza concerts. And that was kind of a lot of fun. There was just so much fun going. But that's still going on here, and I think that we're living in the best possible time for poetry and poetry. I disagree that there's distrust and that there's closed-mindedness. And I think completely the opposite. In fact, when I first moved here in Philadelphia, I think that it was a lot more narrower. And but when I first moved here, I mean, well, like the American Poetry Review was really big back then. They kind of dominated the city scene. It's almost as though you don't even know that they're printed here anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't really have much going on. But they used to have a reading series. And I think it was especially back when Stephen Burke put out the Naked Poetry Anthologies with Ginsberg and all those people. They were really great. But I mean, it was great. But that's when it felt a little more closed. I really liked seeing everything that was going on when I was a teenager here. Herschel Baron used to run this series at Robin's Bookstore called Moonstone. And I really hated Herschel. And he was so mean. And if your poems didn't fit in the Quarterly Review of Literature, you know, he would tell you. And that was kind of... But Frank, you remember him. Frank,
yeah, he loved us, though.
He didn't love me.
He didn't love me either.
Well, I used to hang around as a teenager with Etheridge Knight. Some of you might know him. And I think it was just because my boyfriend at the time was a coke dealer. and his girlfriend, Carol Ann Robertson. But anyway, my point is, it was wonderful, especially going to the Bacchanal. That was where I really learned to write and love this world. The Bacchanal, many of you probably know the Tipperino compound in Pelton Village. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you would love it, yeah. Well, the Bacchanal, Frank Walsh, you know the Bacchanal, was on the corner of Juniper and South Street.
Yep.
And it was the most amazing place. And I'm not going to mention, I mean, it was, you know, when I first arrived here, everybody was dying in the community. I mean, there were thousands of gay men dying. And I had a boyfriend who had AIDS, and at the time I was going to these readings, and I'm not going to mention her name because she's very famous and has won lots of awards, but there is, you know, there's a poet who would go there regularly and read her despicable homophobic poems about how God sent AIDS to wipe out the public. We would have these... This is what I kind of miss about Philadelphia. Those were the days where you would be screaming at one another from the audience at the poet. And now it's all a little more polite. You know what I mean? I don't know where that comes from, but there's a little more politeness going on. And but how are you supposed to be quiet when somebody's reading a poem like that? And of course, after MOVE happened, there was that big anthology, Lamont Steptoe, and a lot of Kamika Williams, and Sharon Leonard Goodman, all these wonderful poets. Jim Corey, and Gil Ott was a really important person for me. Gil Ott was writing and reading things that I had never heard before. Actually, I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, and Molly Rosikoff, who many of you know, her parents owned the Rosikoff Bookshop on 10th Street, near Locust, I guess. And she owned a bookshop in the Italian Market that's now the Bella Vista health food store. But she had just been to Naropa. She was actually dating Peter Orlovsky, Allen Ginsberg's boyfriend. And she came to my high school. I don't know who invited her. I think she was the first Jewish person ever to step foot out there in the sticks where I grew up. And she read these poems that just blew my mind. And I asked her who I should be reading, and she told me Alice Notley, Ted Berrigan, Bob Kaufman, you know, all these people. I never heard them, and the library ordered them for me, and it just changed my life, you know. And Molly Resnikoff and Chris Schoffolino and a lot of these people, we lived, I mean, Deborah, you were mentioning about the affordability as a factor.
Yes.
We lived in what was known at the time as the Zulli Nation. Al Zulli was a landlord, Z-U-L-L-I, and he owned much of Center City's property back in the 80s when I moved here, and he loved artists. And my rent was $210 a month. The same apartment is now almost $1,500. And I see a lot of kids coming here trying to do what I did when I was that age, and they can't. It's impossible, and it's all about greed. Greed stands in the way of art all the time. I don't care whether you're a spoken word artist or an experimental poet or whoever, it stands in our way, and that's the thing we need to confront and fight for all of us, because we're all in this together. And I do think things are really great right now. I can't think of a better time. I mean, I've been here for more than half my life, and I've seen dozens of circles of time of poetry come and go. And this is the most vibrant, accepting, nurturing time. The New Philadelphia poets are amazing. It's just incredible to see you and your friends, whenever there's a library closing or something, they're like creating, you know, activity on the streets, you know, and to helping Giovannian bookstore, the Wooden Shoe bookstore. I mean, that's what a community is. A community is that. It's about really reaching out to all the people around you. Dale Smith, who lives in Austin, Texas, has recently written a brilliant essay on slow poetry, to take off on slow food. And it's very much what I think New Philadelphia Poets is about. This idea of you need your community. And I don't mean just the poets, because, you know, that's the thing. It's everybody. It's not just the poets that make poetry happen, because the city is alive in so many ways for us. And I think about this, I've been doing these experiments called somatics, where I create exercises and then do them. But now I've started creating somatic reading enhancements, because I believe that reading is as creative an activity as writing. And that I think exegesis is almost irrelevant when it comes to reading. You don't really need to know what the poet went through to write what they write, because when you're reading a poem by somebody, you're filtering through your experience, and that's why our community is so valuable. Tamara just walked in, just with the light of unity, which was an amazing event. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm happy to be here with you all, but also, Michelle, I hope that you understand that there's not so much distrust. And actually, it's kind of ironic, because I told you that I heard you read a few years ago and you didn't even remember it. And that was a friend of mine who was reaching out to you and your community, and then you never even came back again. So I feel like you're slamming Philadelphia in a way when you say these things.
First of all, I did not slam Philadelphia.
I
love
so.
The city. I love this city. What I was speaking of.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Can I just say real quickly?
Well, we're gonna have this. If we could be patient, that would be great. Okay. That'd be cool. Because we were still getting the introductions of everybody, and I didn't even get to my questions yet. So that's okay.
Because then I feel like...
You have emotional response.
I just feel like he should have gave his statement, and if he wanted to address me later, he could address me later. But I just want to make it clear that I'm speaking from my experiences, and I'm also speaking from my experiences within a national spoken word poetry context. And trying to do a local thing, right? So that's what I'm speaking from. And I've performed at thousands and thousands of places. So, you know, if you can tell me like what year and so forth and so on, I can probably, that's almost
sorry,
like someone,
I
mean, that's almost like someone coming to me and saying, you remember when, you know, I met you at such and such a place back in 2002, and it's like, I've met thousands and thousands of people. I don't know how
there's
I can expect, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, yeah, I definitely look forward to having a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Give it back to me too.